All right, everybody, welcome back to the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast. I'm Devin Davidson, your host. With me, as always, my co-hosts, Bruce Gunther and John Enns. Boys, how you doing?
Good. No dead air tonight.
Oh, I was waiting for the dead air.
No dead air tonight. No, we're not doing no more dead air.
Bruce, you called it. Yeah, we're learning. We're new to this. Give us a break. Okay, so tonight we're going to try and rip through this in about an hour, but this is episode two of our How to Win Your Fantasy Hockey League series. This week we're going to focus on centers. Last week was wingers. If you want to check out what we had to say, check out our website, fantasyhockeyhacks.com. The post is up there, the show notes, and the episode itself, or just check us out wherever you get your podcasts. This week we're just going to go through the news quickly, and then we're going to focus on centers. Like I said, the Google Sheet doc is there if you want to follow along to look at some of the numbers we've got and see kind of how we're ranking our tiers. And so with that, let's just jump into the news here quick. So first off, John Cooper was named head coach for the men's Canadian hockey team at the 2022 Beijing Olympics, assuming they do in fact go. Hard to argue with that selection, as he just won back-to-back Stanley Cups.
Yeah, what do you guys exactly, think? Right?
Kind of the obvious pick here, right?
I think so, yeah. He just won two Stanley Cups, and basically he'll have a couple of the, guessed who would be on Team Canada, and yeah, Canada could field two teams and still have a good chance at winning gold.
Oh, that roster looks insane. And actually the coaching staff. So they've got John Cooper, and then I think they had Barry Trotz, Peter DeBoer. And I can't remember the fourth one was there, but
yeah,
kind of your who's who of coaches as well. So
yep,
it's going to be sort of gold or bust like it typically is for Team Canada, but we'll see how that goes. Carter Hart signed a three-year deal, $11.937 million. That's a 3.979 AAV. And according to Frank Saravelli, that was the contract at the time. That was the highest AAV ever for a goaltender's second contract, just ahead of Matt Murray and Andre Vasilevsky. But then shortly after that, our buddy Igor Shesterkin signed a four-year contract for $22.66 million, which was a $5.65 million AAV. And that was the second largest contract doled out to a goaltender. That was then actually closely followed by Ilya Samsonov signing a one-year deal worth $2 million. So lots of headlines in terms of goalies. I mean, Shesterkin, we expect to be the starter in New York next year. We're not going to dive into goalies too much here, but just for reference, Samsonov, his value went down a little bit because he's now going to be in a timeshare with Vanacek, we expect. Carter Hart, we'll jump into this next week in more detail, but I like Carter Hart for next season. I don't know if you guys feel the same, but...
Yeah, I do too. I think he'll bounce back.
All right. We talked about this guy here on the last episode. So Jacob Vrana and the Detroit Red Wings agreed to a new three-year contract, $15.75 million. That's a $5.25 million AAV. And I think he figures to be a big part of the Red Wings' plans moving forward here after being traded for Anthony Mantha last season. As we discussed, he was ranked third in terms of even strength goals over the past three seasons. So I think he'll do some damage in a larger role, even if it is for the Detroit Red Wings.
It's a great trade for both teams.
Yeah.
That was a great trade for both teams. Ferrana's going to do very well in Detroit. He's going to get lots of opportunity and he's going to put up some points.
And I think that's all he needed, right? He wasn't given a lot of power play time in Washington. It was a pretty crowded roster, especially on power play one.
That top six is crowded.
Yeah. And now he's in a spot where he's going to get opportunity and he's shown he can play at even strength. So, I mean, power play points aren't going to, not going to hurt, right?
No, exactly.
Some sad news this week. Tony Esposito passed away at the age of 78 from pancreatic cancer. Esposito was a three-time Vezina Trophy winner, Stanley Cup champion, and a Hall of Famer. He played in 886 NHL games, producing 423 wins, 76 shutouts, a 2.92 goals against average, and a 906 save percentage. Obviously, played before our time, time anyway. And so I don't know a lot about Esposito other than just to look at the stats, but some unfortunate news here this week. Neil Pionk signed his deal with the Winnipeg Jets, avoiding arbitration. He's got a four-year deal worth $23.5 million and a $5.875 million AAV. Not a whole lot there to say. I think we'll dive into defensemen here as well in this series, and I don't know. He's been fantasy relevant. We'll see what happens with some of the additions there in Winnipeg. And last but not least, we got Sam Reinhart's agreeing to a 3-year contract, $19.5 million and a $6.5 million AAV. I did hear Reinhart say he expects to be with Florida beyond 3 seasons. He spoke to the GM and basically they agreed that they need some cap flexibility and he was okay just signing sort of a short-term deal. So good on him. We'll see how it goes the rest of the year.
Yep. He's going to have a lot of fun in Florida.
Well, you know, it's there's not many places worse than Buffalo. So
I don't think there is any place worse than Buffalo right now.
No.
This is very true. Whether he plays,
now he's
going to
score a bunch of goals and sit on the beach and have drinks.
Yeah. And really,
where do I sign up?
Yeah, exactly, right? Your line mate could either be Barkov or Huberdeau. Gee, like.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yes. Life's good if you're Sam Reinhart right now. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
Okay, guys. So that's kind of the news updates this week. There might have been a couple other things here and there, but those are the big ones. Let's jump into our series, Win Your Fantasy Hockey League, our center focus here this week. So we've ranked the centers by fantasy points per game over the past 3 seasons. ESPN's standard scoring system is used to calculate fantasy point totals. It does include hits, PIMs, and block shots. Just keep that in mind as we're going through this. And for a rough guideline, like I said, we have included a spreadsheet that you guys can go and look at the stats numbers and sort them how you'd like to. So the tiers, we're going to start at tier zero, like I said last week, 4.5 fantasy points per game or higher. Those are considered franchise or superstar players. For centers as well, there's only a handful of them that are actually in this tier. That includes Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Nathan MacKinnon, Austin Matthews, Steven Stamkos, and Sidney Crosby. These guys are all going to be off the board by round two. So just keep that in mind. These are exceptional players, and we're not going to dive too deep into them. Right, guys? These are kind of the obvious ones, but I think we wanted to highlight some of the numbers from last year. So starting us off, probably no surprise, Connor McDavid. He had an ADP last year of 2.1 and a fantasy points per game of 5.66 over the past 3 seasons. He's just on another level. I don't know how many, there's no other words I can use to describe the guy. We've talked about him 1,000 times, but just an incredibly talented player. He put up a historic 105 points, 33 goals. He was on pace for 154 points last year. He had 200 shots on goal. Sorry, Bruce, go ahead.
I say, that's just insane. Like
the numbers, right? It was, yeah. It was historic. It was just an incredible season to watch. Even better, I guess his shooting percentage at 16.5% was actually slightly below his 3-year average of 16.6%. So that's great. Like that number is going to stay fairly consistent. You'd think. He also decided to shoot the puck more last season. He had a 3.6 shots on goal per game, which placed him 5th league wide, just behind Austin Matthews, Nathan MacKinnon, Alex Ovechkin, Brady Tkachuk, and David Pastrnak. So my question here, guys, is 50 goals and 105 assists possible for McDavid next season?
Yep. Playing in the Pacific? So. Absolutely.
100, 155 points, you think it's doable?
Yeah.
Certainly. Just even from watching the games that he was, the Oilers games there last year, with his, the amount of shots he was taking, it seemed like he wasn't even shooting enough. And just to see that he had 5th most league-wide, it's kind of incredible. Because it looked like he was passing up a whole lot of chances even. And yeah, I got nothing else to say about the guy. Just amazing.
I would agree with that, John. Sorry, Bruce. There were times where he could have shot the puck more, right?
Yep. And he's got a shiny new line mate, too, that's not afraid to stand in front of the net. So you can see him shooting a lot more. It may bounce off Hyman a few times, but
that's okay.
The point total will definitely get there.
I think Hyman's going to help with puck retrievals too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like that's going to be a big part of it. Digging pucks out of the corner, being hard on the forecheck. He's only going to help McDavid, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's only going to help. It's
not that he needs it, right? But
Hyman's a considerable upgrade over what was previously there. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We won't beat a dead horse. Let's move on to Leon Draisaitl here. Obviously, we can't talk about McDavid without bringing up Leon Draisaitl, who's also John's favorite player.
Overrated.
he is not overrated. I got the stats to prove it.
School me.
Okay, so his 2020 ADP was 3.2, and his fantasy points per game was second in the entire league over the past three seasons at 5.24. Second only to Connor McDavid, obviously, like I said. Actual points per game was 1.43 over the past three seasons. He had another MVP-type season in 2020-2021 with 84 points, 31 goals in 56 games. Neon Leon, as they call him, was on his way to 123-point year. He was excellent in the faceoff dot. He had a 55.7 faceoff percentage while also contributing 168 shots on goal, 32 power play points, 24 PMs, 37 hits, and 12 blocks, all in 56 games. So don't be surprised to see another 50-goal, 100-point season from Leon next year. Only Austin Matthews, with 125, has more goals than Leon over the past three seasons, who had 124. So for as much as people like to talk about Austin Matthews being a generational goal scorer and the best goal scorer in the game, there's one goal that separates him over the past three seasons.
I hope the Oilers can score, because the jury's going to be out to see if they can actually defend.
Yeah, there's no question. I think the defense is... I wouldn't argue it got better. It's kind of a wash, maybe, in my mind, but, and the goaltending still concerns me.
Yeah.
But John, did I sell you on Leon Draisaitl?
Did you sell me? Okay. No, never. I'm always opinionated, but, I hate to say it. The stats are there to prove me wrong. So yeah, I suppose.
But honest question. So we're biased as Oilers fans here, but If Connor goes one, who are you taking two in your redraft leagues in a 10-team league next year?
Me?
Anyway, Bruce, John, like, what do you guys think? Is there a player you're taking at number two other than Draisaitl?
McKinnon.
I'd go Kucherov.
I can't take either of those guys.
it'd be a hard choice between Kucherov and Draisaitl for number two.
Okay, fair enough. I couldn't fault you for that one. If I look at the numbers again here quickly, because I'm curious, if I look at all skaters, where does...
Because last year it went Connor, Leon, and I drafted third, and I took McKinnon. But there was no Kucherov last year, so...
Yeah. Yeah, so over the past 3 years, we've got... It's McDavid, Draisaitl, then Kucherov in terms of fantasy points per game. Like... Draisaitl's at 5.24, Kucherov's at 5.08, and then McKinnon's at 5.07. And those are the only four players that are above 5 points, fantasy points per game. So it's probably a wash, right? Like, really, you can pick your poison, I guess.
It's really going to matter. I guess the only thing that might is McKinnon's got a bit of an injury history, right? So he's missed a few games last year because of injury.
Yeah.
Granted, Kucherov missed an entire season due to injury, but
I was wondering where you're going with this, because I was like,
Meanwhile, the German Gretzky is just like, hey guys, I don't miss games. Not gonna lie.
Exactly, right?
German Gretzky.
Oh boy. Okay, let's move on then before John has a I don't know what. All right, Nathan McKinnon, 2020 ADP of 3.2. His fantasy points per game over the past three seasons is 5.07, like I just mentioned. He's been very consistent the past two seasons, on pace for 111 points in both years with a 1.35 points per game. Having Landeskog back on his wing and Rantanen on the right side should produce similar results again next year. Not to mention having McCarr on the point, right? So he was tied with Matthews last season with a shot rate of 4.3 shots on goal per game, volume shooter. 206 shots on goal in 48 games. That's pretty impressive.
Yep.
But his shot rate was actually down from the past two seasons, where he was at 4.6 and 4.5 shots on game, shots on goal per game, respectively. And so was his shooting percentage. It was 9.7% last year versus 10.8, which is his three-year average. So I'd say we could actually even see a bit of regression, positive regression here for Nathan McKinnon. So again, if John, if you want to make that pick and you want to take McKinnon number two, I don't fault you, because I think he may possibly shoot even a little bit more, and if his shot percentage, shooting percentage goes up a little bit, you're going to see some more goals out of Nathan McKinnon next year.
I agree. That's why I've got no problem with picking him.
Okay, so I sold you on those stats then.
Tough sell.
Good. Confirmation bias, right? Exactly.
That's right.
Okay, well, we couldn't talk about McKinnon without talking about Austin Matthews. His 2020 ADP was 6.4. His fantasy points per game over the past three seasons worked out to 4.67. He did lead the league in goal scoring, like we said, the past 3 years, with 125 goals. He set a career high in points per game at 1.27 last year. He was on pace for 104 points. There's no doubt he's an elite talent, and nobody should hesitate to draft him in the first round. But, Bruce, as you alluded to, Hyman's now in Edmonton, not in Toronto. And that's a big hole on the left side, I think, for Austin Matthews. And his production could, I mean, he's a driver of play, right? So maybe it doesn't matter. But I think it's not going to help him in any regard. We could see some regression in his shot rate, too, where he put up 4.3 shots on goal per game. His three-year average is actually 4, so he was shooting a little bit more last year, and his shooting percentage last season was 18.5% versus his three-year average of 16.4. So a lot of things went right for him last year. He had Hyman on his wing. If I'm a betting man, I would say he's going to take a slight step back next season, but what do you guys think?
I think it'll be a step back when you, now that the divisions are going back to their original ones, he's going to see a lot stiffer defenses here in his division than what he saw in the Canadian division last year. So I think it'll be a step back for him this year, and losing Hyman definitely won't help. And there's going to be some increased pressure on these boys after flaming out in the first round against Montreal. There's going to be pressure, and if they don't get off to a good start, as usual, it'll be ugly in Toronto.
Well, I think this will be the litmus test for this. Like, if they don't make some serious progress this year, I think Toronto won't hesitate to break up that core a little bit, right?
No, probably not, because they've got some big contracts in there.
But like you said, Bruce, they're going to be in tough next year. Like, they're not playing with Vancouver, Calgary, Ottawa. You know, now they've got to deal with Boston and Tampa and who else in that division? Florida,
Washington.
Like, it's,
that's going to be tough.
So I would, like, still, like I said, don't hesitate to grab the guy in the first round, but his ADP goes up even slightly, it's you're going to have a really tough time getting the value for it. Okay. So with that, let's move on to tier one. These are players that have put up 3.5 to 4.5 fantasy points per game. They're still considered elite players, but just maybe not in that special tier. First guy we've got here to talk about is Mika Zibanejad. His 2020 ADP was 16, and over the past 3 years, he's put up 4.36 fantasy points per game. Zibanejad is the highest rated center in terms of fantasy points per game over the past three seasons in this tier. He also had the highest number of hat tricks the last 3 years with 6, which was 2 ahead of superstar Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, who both had 4, I believe. However, draft this guy with some caution, as their offseason wasn't the most beneficial. I think losing Buchnevich is going to be a concern for Zibanejad. And, you know, guys, we talked about this earlier, Lafreniere and Kako are question marks right now. So if he gets stuck with, you know, one of or both of those guys on his wings, that's not going to be good news for his production. Also, prior to 2019-2020, Zibanejad's ADP was 99. Bruce, you and I were just talking about this before the show, right? Like,
yeah,
he used to be a guy you could pick up later, like mid or late round picks, and all of a sudden, last year, he was getting drafted in the second round, which is just insane.
Well, because his year before, right, he went through the roof, right, the year before, and that boosted his ADP way up there, right? So,
So, like you said, he had a great season, put up 75 points. It was 41 goals. He was on pace for 108 points. And then his ADP, like you said, skyrocketed. And his points per game, shooting percentage, and IPP were all inflated. So if you looked at the underlying numbers, it was kind of, there were a bunch of red flags there. Our prediction for Zibanejad settles somewhere in the 75-point, 30-goal range. It's difficult. It's going to be difficult to get value from him on draft day, just based on his ADP and where he's probably going to go. He's not a sneaky pick anymore, right?
No, there's a bunch of question marks there. So for me, he'd be more of a middle round pick for me. I wouldn't be reaching for him at that. And at 16, no.
So if we're setting the line at 75 points, are you guys taking the over or under on Zibanejad for next year?
I'm going under.
I'm going with Kako and Lafreniere learn how to play hockey, and I'm going over.
I'm going to side with you on this one, John. I'll take the over just because I think the potential's there, but his, like I said, his line mates are question marks. So
yeah,
if all goes well and he stays healthy, he's for sure got the potential to go over 75 points. But Bruce, you're probably, that's probably the more practical answer is under 75 points. I mean, if I'm putting money down, yeah, that's probably the way I'd go too. But
come on, guys, optimism.
But yeah, I need that optimism in my life, John. So I'm gonna go over 75 for Mika Zibanejad.
Bold move.
Okay, next, let's talk about Jack Eichel. I mean, because I feel like we haven't talked about Jack Eichel enough this offseason. Nobody just has.
So much to say about him, though.
It's just, you know, the story's really been swept under the rug. I don't know. Basically, I just said, like, when's the Jack Eichel trade gonna end, right? There's got to be a resolution here sometime soon, you hope. According to some sources, the situation could drag out into September or October, which would just be brutal. But with that in mind, I think many are going to shy away from Eichel on draft day, or his ADP is going to fall significantly. If he is traded and he is healthy, Eichel is an absolute stud. He's an elite fantasy center. He's at a 4.25 fantasy points per game over the past three seasons, ranking ninth overall among centers. And that number would have been, well, again, Bruce, you and I talked about this earlier. His numbers would be significantly higher if not for the train wreck that happened last year.
Yeah.
It was a disaster on many fronts.
Yeah, he would he would be in tier zero, basically, right, if you took last year out?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. His shot rate ranks fourth at 3.56 shots on goal per game. Yeah, behind just McKinnon, Matthews, and Seguin, and his shooting percentage sits at 11.2% compared to his career number of 10.5%. So he could return value, though, next season, depending on his health and where he ultimately winds up. New York's been mentioned many times. So and that could affect Zibanejad's value, or maybe Zibanejad gets moved to Buffalo, which would just be awful for his fantasy value. But if he does get moved there, I mean, picture him playing with Panarin, Kapokako, Lafreniere, Fox on 5-on-5. Like, that's could be interesting next year, but we'll see what happens. What do you guys think? Are you buying or selling on Jack Eichel for next year?
It's all going to depend on what his health is like and where he is before I would make any final decision on him.
And let's assume on draft day there's no decision. Are you gonna try and pick him up late and stash him on IR?
That would probably, I would, if someone doesn't be aggressive and try to grab him, yeah, I'm waiting to the later rounds to pick him up. Just because the whole thing with Buffalo, it's like, if he ends up staying in Buffalo, one, is he going to show up in camp? Right? So, because the last thing he wants to get injured again, right? Because they're already at odds about his neck, right? So,
yeah,
if he stays in Buffalo, I'm not touching him until like late rounds, if he's still there.
Okay.
Which is too bad for you. Sorry, Bruce. I was just going to say, which is too bad for you, because I'd probably grab him before you would. And
actually, I got no problem. I was actually
going to say that. I
got no problem
stashing him on IR. Yeah.
So how early are you going to grab him then, John?
Well, I can't give away my trade secrets.
Like, would you snap him up in the first five rounds?
Ooh.
Somebody will.
Yeah. I think if I was going to, I'd have to grab him in the first five rounds, because he won't last longer than that. I'd probably, like you say, stick him on IR. I got no problem leaving him there until playoffs. Because if you can grab him and he is healthy for your fantasy playoffs, he's going to be a rock in there. So, yeah, I got no problem with that.
He could. You're right, John. He could be a league winner if you can grab him late enough and stash him until playoffs start.
Yep.
So, something to think about anyway. Next, let's talk about Braden Point. Love those Crocs. Everybody's seen them. You guys saw the post, right? John's looking at me like I'm crazy, but
John's like, I haven't seen the post.
Oh man, he had his day with a cup, and he went to a rink somewhere where he played, I think, as a kid. And anyway, there's a picture of him holding his camel Crocs with the Stanley Cup, and that's basically, he wore jeans and Crocs all day.
Oh, okay. So I watched the video of him walking on the ice. I did not notice his Crocs.
Yeah, well, then it was just a big thing, because then there was a picture and a post later where he was actually holding his Crocs up next to the Stanley Cup. It was quite funny. No. So
that's awesome.
Anyway, yeah, someone called him a man of the people.
Excellent.
So we like Braden Point anyway. His 2020 ADP was 33.9. His fantasy points per game over the past three seasons, 3.74. He's a fantastic player in his own right, but having Nikita Kucherov flank his right wing all next season, a healthy Nikita Kucherov, is going to help his fantasy production. So I think he's going to be better than he was last year. His three-year average is 1.01 points per game, so 36 goals, 47 assists. With the talent around him, is it reasonable to say he could reach 40 goals and 90 points, or is that too much? Are you going over or under on that one, guys?
I'd say that's bang on. Point per game, just over a point per game. Yeah, I'd take that.
I'm going over on that one. I'm thinking he's really? Going to have... I'm thinking he's going to have somewhat of a breakout season.
I love the optimism tonight, John.
And I'm saying 100.
Okay, he hits 100 points this year.
Yep.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm in a good mood for some reason. I don't know why.
Holidays?
Holidays? Yeah, maybe.
Yep.
One thing, okay, so I'll kind of temper expectations a little bit here. Keep in mind, Point provide. I'm sorry. I got some numbers here I gotta throw at you. He doesn't provide a ton of category coverage. So, like, you know, hits, PIMs, blocks, like, he's not gonna blow your socks off that way. And he's got a bit of a lower shot rate at 2.3 shots on goal per game. I think it's actually the lowest shot rate of anyone in any center in tier one. But saying all that, I like your take on it, John. He plays a pivotal role in a very good hockey club, and having Kucherov play next year 5-on-5 all season long, he's going to put up some numbers. And I think Palat's going to play on the left side, so that's a pretty damn good first line.
I'll agree to that.
I wouldn't count him out. The question is going to be, where do you get him in the drafts? And I think his ADP is going to be quite a bit higher this season. Just based on recency bias alone, people are gonna reach for him probably in the second round, I would say. What do you think, Bruce? Yeah, Sean's go. Yeah, I will. Yeah, John. Yeah, what do you think, Bruce?
Yeah. John will beat you to him, Devin.
Damn it!
Tyler will beat us both.
No, he'll reach for an Oiler. He'll probably get Tyson Berry in the third round.
Tyler, I hope you're listening. Text me if you're listening, Tyler.
We're just going to beak you until you come on anyways.
I actually haven't harassed him for a while, so I'll have to, I'll text him here.
That's weak.
Let him know he's got to get on the show. Bruce, are you taking Braden Point? Like, where second round, is that reasonable? Third round, where you kind of peg him at?
I'd probably, if I'd look at late second, early third round, but I think, like you said, in some drafts, I think he'll be gone before we get to where I would pick him up. Because, yeah, he'll go early, and, yeah, they'll have a good return. I guess the question will be, who will have more points, Point or Kucherov? They're playing on the same line.
I'm going to go Kucherov there if I'm picking.
If they're playing on the same line and the same power play, it could be.
Yeah.
They were really good in the playoffs, so.
If I had to pick one, I'm going to go Kucherov, but
yeah,
that's just my own feelings. All right, next, let's go to Tyler Seguin. We'll finally be healthy. 2020 ADP of 186.8, obviously, because we knew he was going to be out for the majority of the season last year. A lot of guys grabbed him late and stashed him, and I think he only played three games. His fantasy points per game is 3.65 over the past three seasons. He's a volume shooter. He ranks third among centers over the past three seasons with 3.81 shots on goal per game. Seguin's shooting percentage the past 3 years at 8.9% has been below his career average of 10.8%. So I would expect to see some positive regression there in terms of shooting percentage and goal scoring. Radulov's going to be healthy next season, along with Jamie Benn on his left wing, and I think you'll see some better results. So he is a bounce back candidate for us here on the show. One thing we're going to point out here, though, is it's troubling to see he hasn't actually produced at a point per game pace since 2015-16. He did come close in 2018-19 at 0.98 points per game, and he hasn't played a full 82 games since 2018-2019. So what's your take on Tyler Seguin here, guys? Do you like him? Do you not? Where are you taking him?
I like him, but I won't be reaching for him in the early rounds. I think he'd be more of, I think you're going to, well, thinking you're probably going to see him more in the middle rounds, fifth or sixth round, I think is where you'll see him.
I think that's fair. But,
I'm going to agree with Bruce on that one. Sorry. Like he said, really liked the guy. He's a fantastic player, but the last few years, he's just had so many troubles there. And it's hard to reach for guys like that. So I'm thinking, yeah, mid-tier or mid-rounds, fifth or sixth.
I mean, he's a guy that if he is healthy and he produces at a point per game, like you can get great value for him in the fifth or sixth round, right?
But oh, yeah.
Sometimes you gotta risk it to get the biscuit, right? So.
Yeah, and their wingers are going to be healthy this year. So like you said, Ben Radulov will be back. Robertson will be playing there. They got Hintz probably playing second line center. So
yep.
With everyone healthy, they'll have some fun there too.
Dallas is going to be significantly better next year. Like they just about made the playoffs and they had half their roster on IR.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's lots of fantasy value to be had there in Dallas this year, I think. Next, let's move on to tier two here. So 2.5 to 3.5 fantasy points per game. These are top six players. The first one we're going to start with here is another guy who missed pretty much or all of last season was Jonathan Toews. His 2020 ADP was 148.4, and over the past three seasons, he had a fantasy points per game rate of 3.47. By all accounts, he's ready. He's expected to be ready for training camp after missing all of last season with chronic immune response syndrome. He is the top-ranked center in Tier 2 with a 3.47 fantasy points per game, like I said. In terms of real production, he's got a 0.93 points per game, 141 points, 53 goals in 152 games, and a 56.8 face-off percentage. So if your league counts face-offs, definitely a good grab there. He ranks top 10 for face-offs one of the past 3 years. And the top six in Chicago, we talked about this last week, is probably the best looked in a long time, right, guys? Just when you look at having Kirby Dach back, Jonathan Toews, Kane, DeBrincat, all those guys there, Kubalik. Chances are he's going to play in that first power play unit. It's going to include Kane, DeBrincat, Seth Jones, and I would say likely Kirby Dach. Like, I don't know why they wouldn't stack up that first power play unit, but they may decide to split it up, so we'll have to watch training camp to see. Last thing here, note his shot rates have been declining the past few seasons. So it was 2.5 shots on goal per game in 2019-2020. And his shooting percentage was 10.5% in 2019-2020, where his career average is 13.9%. So, it could be on the decline, right? He's getting older, but he's a gamer, and I'm betting on a bounce back for next season. So I think I'm setting the line here at 25 goals and 45 assists. What do you guys think?
I would say that's achievable for him, for sure. Especially with the line mates he's going to have, it's definitely achievable.
John?
I'm in agreement there. As long as his line mates continue to be fantastic, like Patty Kane, I got no problem seeing him get 70 points.
All right. Well, let's move on then. Sean Couturier in Philadelphia. His 2020 ADP was 64.8. His fantasy points per game is 3.43 over the past three seasons. So he's the second ranked center in tier two. He's been very consistent over the past three seasons, putting up 0.95, 0.86, and 0.91 points per game. Philly went out and improved their squad here in the offseason with some of the acquisitions they made. He's excellent on faceoffs, 57.8% in the dot, and he sits eighth in even strength goals among centers. So playing with Giroux, Konechny, Provorov, and Ellis at 5-on-5, I would expect another big season from Couturier. The line here, guys, projections by all accounts looks like 30 goals, 30 plus goals and 75 points. Do you like the over or under there?
Oh boy. I'd probably say I'll go over.
Think you're thinking a big year from Couturier?
I'm thinking so. That whole group had you look at how deep they are across their three lines. Like even with shipping out Voracek, bringing Atkinson in, and they didn't have a really great year last year, a bunch of them. So they're going to be on a mission this year to prove a point. So I think it'll be over.
And I don't think the acquisition of either Ellis or Yandel hurts either, right? Like having those guys, Yandel's a power play specialist. So I mean,
yeah, I think they'll help more than anything.
And 5-on-5, I think Ellis is a hell of a player. He's got a great shot from the point. Like if he gets a chance to play with Ellis 5-on-5 and Giroux and Konechny, like,
yep.
Yeah, I it's not out of reach for sure. Couturier has had some injury concerns, I believe, in the past, but so that'll be a question too. But it is with everyone, right? So, yeah, I'll take the over on 75 points for sure. John, you're nodding.
I'll take the over on it too, mainly just because there's so many players in the league now who are point per game players. I feel he is one that could definitely do it as well. And yeah, I got no problem with that, seeing as I think Ryan Ellis is going to boost that quite a bit. I just like the way he plays. Like you said, 5-on-5 on the power play. Ryan Ellis is just a stud. So
yep.
Yeah, I'm going over. Okay. Not much over, but over.
All right. We'll talk about this more next week too, but just quickly, who do you guys like more in Philly on the back end there? Like, who do you think is going to play power play one? Is it going to be Ellis, Provorov, or Yandel to start?
Provorov will get the start. And then if it doesn't go well, then I think you'll see him switch to either Ellis. Like, they could start the season with both Provorov and Ellis on power play one and then see how it goes. Because they could put Yandel on power play two, or you could see a mix of all three depending on how they try to work things, right? So
I think you're right, Bruce. I think the way I see it going is Provorov and Ellis to start on the power play. John, what do you think?
Yep, same thing. Provorov and Ellis. Okay. I don't know what else to say there, but yeah.
Okay, golden. Next up, we got Ryan O'Reilly, St. Louis, 2020 ADP is 76, and his fantasy points per game is at 3.29 over the past three seasons. He is sixth in faceoff percentage over the past 3 years. He's the guy that drives play there in St. Louis. Similar to Couturier, he's been very good the past 3 years, putting up 0.96, 0.86, and 0.94 points per game. A note of caution, he doesn't provide a lot of category coverage. Again, his shooting percentage was the highest of his career last season at 18.6%. He's a career 11.3% shooter, so I'm expecting some regression there. He was on pace for 35 goals last season, but I think we should expect totals closer to 25 goals and 75 points. What do you guys think? Over, under?
I think it's bang on. I think it's... with the line mates he's going to have going into the season and that, he'll be bang on for 75 points.
Yeah, and he gets played in all situations too, right? Like he's getting lots of power play time, lots of time 5-on-5. So, yeah, I think 25 goals for him is certainly achievable given that he's healthy. And, yeah, 75 points, I think. I'll take the over there. But, John?
I've been too optimistic today. So I'm actually going to take the under on this one. I don't see him getting to 75 points. 25 goals, maybe, yeah. Like you say, his shot percentage has to be more realistic in there. So yeah, closer to 25, but I don't quite see him getting to 75. I'm thinking probably 70.
Yeah, like pulled up his numbers here. So the last three seasons, his 82 games played pace was 77 in 18-19. It was 70 points in 19-20 and then 79 in 2021. So he's going to be somewhere in that range, you would expect, right? But we don't know for sure. And of course, injuries are always a concern. Tarasenko could be gone next year. Schwartz is gone.
Yep.
So time will tell. Okay. Well, got to draw a line somewhere, right, John? So
that's right.
Let's move on to this guy's going to be a pretty popular pick, I think, given that he just went all the way to the Stanley Cup final, and that's Nick Suzuki. His 2020 ADP was 187.8, and his fantasy points per game over the past 3 years is 2.64. So after a breakout performance during the playoffs here, Suzuki's ADP, I think, is going to be inflated. The young center was on pace for 22 goals and 60 points last season. It looks like he's going to play with Tyler Toffoli and Cole Caulfield, and I think that's going to help his numbers. So those are two great line mates there. With Danault signing in LA, he's also going to be given some added responsibility, some more ice time. So my bold prediction is 25 goals and 65 points. Do you guys like the over or under?
I'm going to go slightly under. I think he'll probably get around 60 points.
Okay. Okay. John?
I want to say over, but no, I got to take the under on this one. I'm with Bruce. I think he's going to be around that 60-point mark. It's going to be an exciting line to watch. A lot of fun there with Caulfield and Toffoli, but yeah, I'm thinking 60 points as well.
Okay. I'll take the over, just to be different. I just really liked what I saw from Cole Caulfield last year and from Nick Suzuki. And Tyler Toffoli is a veteran. He's a big body. Scored a lot of goals for them last year. Suzuki might not hit 25 goals. Maybe he's closer to 20 and he has a lot of assists, but we'll see what happens there. He's really come on the last year, especially through the playoffs. So I'll be curious to see what he can do there. Let's move on to tier three here. So 2.5 points or less. These are basically average or replacement level players. And we've just kind of picked out a few of them that we do like for next season. So first up here is Yanni Gourde. His 2020 ADP, well, it was nothing because he wasn't drafted, apparently. His fantasy points per game was 2.33 over the past three seasons. So he was an important part of that Tampa Bay team that just won back-to-back Stanley Cup championships, but they were unable to protect him in the expansion draft. He did put up career-high numbers, 64 points in 2017-2018. I'm willing to bet, guys, that he can reach that level of production in Seattle. What do you think? We know now that he's going to have surgery, or he did have surgery, and he's going to miss the first month or two of the season. So let's say, like, can he play to be on pace for 65 points by the end of next season?
I think it'll be closer to 60 points. But he'll have lots of opportunity. Like I said, that Pacific isn't shaping up to be a great division this year, so he'll have lots of opportunity, but I think he'll be in the 60-point range.
Okay. John, what do you think?
I'm thinking he could be around that 65-point range. Like you said, he's going to get the opportunities. They're going to lean a lot more heavy on him than Tampa ever did. So, I think that the opportunity is there. He just has to take advantage of it.
Like, he was never really given much power play time. The most he ever saw was a minute 52 on the power play average and 13 power play points. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and he had the fifth most even strength points in Tampa Bay over that time. So 88 points at even strength. He had the seventh most total points with 111. He's shown he's ready for more time, right? He can go in there, he can play more minutes, and if he's given more opportunity, I think he can put up some better numbers. But I mean, Bruce, like you said, that division is not going to be super strong, and if he's got Schwartz and Eberle on his line, like I have no problem predicting 65 or 75 or 70 points for Yanni Gourde.
Yeah. The only reason why I temper the number a little lower is because he's going to be out for a bit. It might take him a little bit to get back into game shape. Yeah. So that's the only reason why I temper the number a bit lower.
Well, a new setting too, right? Some guys, it takes time to adjust to new surroundings and stuff like that. Yeah. So
the potential and the opportunity is definitely there.
Yeah. Okay. Where do you guys see him going? Like, just because it is a bit of an unknown. And
I think he'll end up being a later round pick because of his injury.
Okay. Like closer to the last five rounds of the draft.
I don't know if he'll go right to the end, but yeah, probably, depending if you, yeah, probably last five or six rounds left, somewhere in there.
Okay. Okay. This guy, I think this one's interesting. Philip Deneau signed with LA for 6 years. Was kind of unexpected, in my opinion, just given given the center depth in LA, right? Like it was a bit odd, but nonetheless, his 2020 ADP was 213.2, and his fantasy points per game was at 2.26. So Dano was seventh in faceoff wins over the past three seasons. So if you're in a categories league, head-to-head categories league, that's one you could easily win with Dano in your lineup, right? I picked him off the waiver wire a couple times in our Yahoo league, Bruce, just because needed some faceoff wins, right? And try to win that category. He does provide some value in terms of hits and PIMs as well. But something like, I'm just curious, do you think he has much fantasy upside in terms of points? Like, when I went and looked at his numbers, I think he was kind of, he hovered around 50 points. That's his three-year average. I'm just going to pull it up here quick.
Well, he'll definitely have the opportunity to increase that number in LA where they will play him and who he'll be playing with. He'll definitely have the opportunity to get higher numbers. It's just a question as to whether he can or not.
Yeah, like his three-year average is 12 goals, 50 points, 38 PIMs, and 116 hits, but 834 faceoff wins. So low shot volume, 1.64 shots on goal per game. Like, is he a guy you'll consider drafting for next season, or is he just a guy that you think he'll sit on the waiver wire and you might pick him up every once in a while just as a spot start?
I think he'll probably start the season on the waiver wire.
Okay.
I agree. I don't see myself going for him too quickly at all. Yeah.
No. I think for me, like, they're just not going to give him the offensive opportunity. He's not going to get power play time, right? There's too many guys there. I don't see him having a breakout season necessarily, but mostly if you're just in a categories league, head-to-head categories league, take a look at face-offs. That's one he could definitely win that category for you on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, the only thing I would see with Dano is how quickly Byfield gets acclimated with the NHL and gets going, because if Byfield gets going, Dano goes from second line center to third line center pretty fast.
And then he becomes a very expensive third line center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is probably more where he's should be.
But a likely scenario I could see is they leave Dano on the second line just because he can win those faceoffs, and then they put a guy like Byfield in the wing.
Yeah, they could do that too.
And then you've got a big body who can help in the cycle, and you can take faceoffs as Dano gets kicked out of the dot. Then you've got another guy who can come in and take draws, right? So,
yeah, because assists really haven't been too much of an issue for him. It's goal scoring that's been the issue for him. So,
yeah,
he can put up assists. It's just he doesn't score much.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to Sam Bennett. This might be our favorite player that we've talked about over the past few months. He was undrafted last year in fantasy leagues. His 2018 to 2021 fantasy points per game is 2.07. We all know the turnaround he had after he arrived in Florida last year. It should come as no surprise that Florida ranked first in shot production. So 34.9 shots per game and sixth in goal generation at 3.36 goals per game. So that all contributed to the improved results we saw from Sam Bennett. He was given the opportunity to play with Huberto, like we said, and Duclair at 5-on-5. Pretty stark improvement over his linemates in Calgary. It was a small sample size of 15 games, but he did produce 6 goals, 15 points, 33 PIMs, 39 shots on goal, 29 hits. And he played a ton on the power play. This surprised, he had 338 power play time on ice. I wouldn't have expected that. His IPP was at 78.9. His Corsi 4 was at 65, which is first on Florida. And his goal 4 percentage was 90.91, which is also first on the team. So some pretty interesting numbers there from Sam Bennett. Do you think his production is sustainable next year, guys?
I don't know if it's sustainable, but there's going to be lots of fantasy managers that are hoping it's going to be, and they're going to pick him early.
Just based like on his ADP is going to be inflated, season. Hey?
Yeah. If I was picking, I would pick in the middle rounds, but I don't think in a lot of drafts he will be there in the middle rounds. I think there's going to be lots of people that are going to reach for him just based on what he did in those last few games of the season.
Well, and part of the reason to reach for him is his category coverage, right? Because he does provide hits, PIMs.
He covers everything, right?
And shots. Yeah, he's playing center, got some faceoffs. Like,
and he's got two fantastic line mates, so the points are going to be there. So,
yeah. So, how early are you going to reach for him, Bruce?
I would probably say, for me, I'd probably say fifth round, but I'm not entirely sure he will be there in the fifth round in some drafts.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd even go that high. I was actually surprised you said that high. John, what do you think?
Just based on who his line mates are going to be, I might end up reaching for him, but yeah, it's tough to say. Like Bruce, I want to say that fifth or sixth round, but I don't know if he's going to be there either. His value is going to be inflated for sure.
Yeah, like if I could get him in the seventh or eighth round, I think I'd probably feel pretty good about that. But I don't, like you said, he might be gone by then. So, okay.
You can pick up the next guy then.
I guess so. Let's move on from Sam Bennett. Okay, this one, he's been kind of a hot topic of conversation in fantasy realms, is Jack Hughes. So his 2020 ADP, 183.1, and his fantasy points per game is actually only 1.85 over the past three seasons. But in 2021, he made some significant strides. He had an improved points per game rate of 0.55 versus the year previous at 0.34. His shots on goal rate had gone up from 2 to 2.5. He had more time on the power play. His underlying analytics actually were all really impressive. He had a 61.14 Corsi 4 percentage, which was first on the team, 54.81 goals 4 percentage, which is second, a 57.98 expected goals 4 percentage, which is second on the team, and a 61.88% scoring chances 4 percentage, which is first on the team, and a 59.7 for high danger scoring chances 4, which is also first on the team. So all of his underlying analytics look really good. His shooting percentage is low. He's been at 7.7% and 5.7% the last two seasons. The coach shelters him. He has a lot of offensive zone starts. Like 60% of his starts are in the offensive zone. So he doesn't cover a lot of categories, but the usage is right and his underlying numbers look really good. So if he can get his shooting percentage up to something closer to 10%, which is kind of like league average, a 20-plus goal, 55-point season is probably not out of reach, especially with Tatar playing on his left side now. Do you guys like Hughes for next year? Like, are you going to take the over-under on 55 points and 20-plus goals?
I'll take the over on Hughes. I think with his upgraded line mates and that and his improved play, I think he'll be over 50 points.
Okay. I didn't even mention that he's got Dougie Hamilton and Ryan Graves playing on that first pairing too. So,
yeah, exactly.
John, what do you think?
I'm with Bruce on this one. I'm going to take the over. I think he's due for a big season, and with him and his year, I like the way that Jersey's team's gonna turn out.
Yeah, you know what, Bruce? When when the Dougie Hamilton trade happened, I was like, why would he do that? That's terrible. Why would he go to New Jersey? And then as things have progressed, and you said right away, you're like, I don't think his value is going to be hurt that much. Like you said, it's going to decrease a bit, but I'm actually, now I've really warmed up to New Jersey. I think they, given some of the moves they've made in this offseason, like they could actually provide some sneaky fantasy value next year, right?
Well, and they are rumored to be one of the teams in on Tarasenko too, so. If they were managed to get Tarasenko, that would just improve their top six too. So,
yeah, I'd be curious to see how they pull that off without stripping away a bunch of their existing roster, right?
Picks. And they might have to give a prospect and some picks, but again, the Tarasenko trade has dragged on quite a ways too. So St. Louis may not get all everything they want for him either. So that's another person that probably will be on a new team by the start of the season too. So,
yeah. Okay. Any other thoughts on Jack Hughes, guys? Nope. Okay. That's what we got here, guys, for players we really wanted to kind of focus on here for centers. check the show notes. We've got the top 30 goal scorers listed in terms of centers over the past three seasons. Top 30 playmakers, so assists. The top 30 faceoff specialists who had the best faceoff percentages. Just really quick, Claude Giroux was number one at 58.8, followed by Patrice Bergeron and Sean Couturier. So centers in Philly sure know how to win faceoffs. We've also got power play specialists listed there, the top 30 power play specialists. And then let's bounce. Let's head down to bounce back candidates here, guys. So, just from our notes here, really quick, John, who do you like for bounce back candidates for next year?
I really like Johnny Toews. I'm excited to see that Chicago lineup and for what they're going to do. I'm really hoping he's able to stay healthy. Because if he does, I think he's going to have a fantastic year. I really do.
Yep, I agree. I'm definitely going to draft him before you do.
Probably. I won't deny that.
Bruce, who else you like there for bounce back candidates?
For me, I'm going to go with Tyler Seguin. I think that improved line mates here and healthy line mates, I think he's going to bounce back into point per game form.
Okay.
He's got his shoulder fixed, bionic shoulder.
Yep. For me, we've got Dylan Larkin, Nazem Kadri, and Sean Monahan are the other three that we've got listed, but I actually kind of like Dylan Larkin here. He's not a guy that I've drafted in the past, actually, but you know, looking at that lineup, I really think having a guy like Jacob Vrana playing on his right side and Tyler Bertuzzi playing on his left, like that can be a sneaky good lineup. I haven't actually looked at the underlying analytics to know for sure, but I know individually those are all solid fantasy assets and it can't be any worse than last year, right? So I'd say he's a pretty solid candidate for a bounce back. Breakout candidates. Let's go through those quick here. So we got a few few names here. Bruce, who do you like first?
Breakout candidates. I guess the one for me is Sam Bennett. So he's going to have the time and the opportunity to put up some real serious numbers this year. And I think he was happy to get out of Calgary. It was obvious once he got to Florida, he basically started lighting the ice on fire. And I think he's going to continue that through the season.
Okay. John?
I'm going with Nolan Patrick. I know I've talked about him before. I've got a lot of high praise for him. I'm just hoping that he's able to stay healthy. There was a lot riding on him when he first came to the league, and he didn't quite get a fair shake on that one there. And I'm expecting good things from him in Vegas.
Yeah, I hope he does well there, right? I hope he can stay healthy and have some success. And it would do well for Vegas to have some actual centers besides just Chandler Stephenson.
Yeah, because if he can stay healthy, he'll have lots of opportunity to move his way up that lineup because they're not going to split up Marchessault, Carlson, and Smith. So he can jump. You can easily jump from the third line to the first line, or they want to keep him sheltered for the first part of the season just to make sure. But he can very easily move up to that first line.
Okay. And the player I liked was Jared McCann. That's my pick for breakout candidate. He did really well in Pittsburgh last year. When Malkin went down, he came in, he filled in really well. He was playing at kind of a point per game pace there for a while. Filled in, got some power play time. He could be kind of, you know, the William Karlsson addition for Seattle this upcoming season, I think. And with Gord being injured, I think he's going to have to fill in that first line role, and he's going to get first power play time. And if he does well in Gord's absence, he's just not going to look back, right?
No, he'll stay there.
So and that one too, like I don't know where his ADP is going to shake out. He was undrafted last year, so that's a guy that, you know, sneaky value, might be able to get him in the later half of your draft somewhere.
I just wanted to say that also on our breakout candidates list, Trevor Zegras, he was another one that I was really thinking of. Just the way he played in the World Juniors, and just watching some of those highlights from his short time in Anaheim there, He looks like a fun guy to watch, and he's got slick hands, and he's got good vision too. So he's definitely another guy to watch.
Yeah, definitely. I saw a tweet today. I think it was Bodog put something out. I think he led the odds for Calder Trophy next season, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but he was up there. He was in the top two or three anyway.
Between him and Caulfield.
Yeah, could be. So definitely a guy you want to look at for next year. Okay, that's it, guys. If you want to check out, we've got a few other breakout candidates listed here, but if you want to check that out, be sure to check the show notes at fantasyhockeyhacks.com. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at fantasyhockeyhacks, on Twitter at FHHacks. Check us out wherever you get your podcasts, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're on all of them. And like I said, the complete winger or complete center, complete skater rankings are included in the show notes as well. So you can go and download a Google Sheet doc and filter and sort the results however you like and get yourself prepared for next season. And the last thing I'll mention here, guys, is that we have so next week we're going to move on to defensemen. So keep an eye out for that as well. All right. With that, Bruce, John, thanks. It's fun as always. We always enjoy doing this and look forward to doing it next week as well. So have a good one.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
All right. Take care.